So you get two episodes back to back. You've got the Nine Inch Nails episode from yesterday, and you have Soundgarden today. They were both released on this day 30 years ago. I was a teenager. I was 13. I fell in love with both of these albums and these sonic pillars that we listen to, and Trent Reznor embracing it, saying, you know, when he was 28, he put the album out, and he said, thank you and stay tuned. And then Soundgarden put out this beautiful montage of the Super Unknown. So tonight, I honor Soundgarden, Super Unknown, such a classic album, a pillar right next to Nine Inch Nails, The Downward Spiral. Stay tuned, Dr. Zeus Podcast. March 8th, 1994. Where were you? I've talked about this because yesterday I talked about Nine Inch Nails and The Downward Spiral. And I did that because I thought I can't talk about them both in one day. Because for me, when I was growing up, the first rock band that I ever loved, it wasn't Nirvana, it wasn't Alice in Chains. Tool, that was years away from me really getting into them. But in the summer of 94, the one rock band that I loved absolutely, because I saw that video for Black Hole Sun with Soundgarden. And then I heard the title track, Super Unknown, which I've always felt is probably the best song. That whole album is so fucking amazing. And so to be able to proudly say Soundgarden were my first rock band that I worship and I loved, because I loved just not just the band, but how Chris Cornell sang. And then, you know, you're a teenager and you want to sing, and who, you know, like I said, you look for people to kind of emulate. And I would hear him and I thought, oh God, if only I could fucking sound like that. And I could sing in his key to a certain extent. So it was an amazing thing to be able to find that. You know, I didn't so much find my voice and his voice, but there, you know, a similarity where, okay, there's, you know, a certain echelon that you go. And if you really want to bring it there. And so people know that, like, if we're at a party or we're doing karaoke, I will sing Audioslave songs. I am not afraid to do that, you know, or even Soundgarden songs. And that's why I loved Soundgarden so much. And so when Chris Cornell died in 2017, that was the one death that absolutely broke my heart. It broke my heart because I grew up listening to those songs. In particular, all of the songs on Super Unknown. I mean, just to hear him, you know, when he says, first it steals your mind and it steals your soul. It didn't steal my soul, baby, because I've always been me. I've always been me, and spiritually solidified that aspect of myself. But, oh my God, this is the one album that takes the wind out of me. It takes the wind out of me because, you know, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. He's not here anymore. He's not fucking here anymore. The band themselves, they are still here, but they have to pick up the pieces. You got to understand that. So if they ever are inducted or if they ever decide to reform, no one can take Chris's place. Nobody. I mean, this was a band of true brothers, you know, and he started out as a drummer, and the reason why he sang so loud was because he had to sing over the drumming, and then, you know, they eventually hired Matt Cameron to be the drummer and all that, you know, but, oh my God, this band, Oh my God, this band. I remember Dave Grohl telling a story about him and Kurt. They were at the recording studio where they were doing overdubs or something, and they heard the first taste of what would become Black Hole Sun. I think the producer played it for them, and they immediately loved it. So, oh my God, this, super unknown. Grammys aside, because that's just a door holder, you know. But it is an industry thing, as this weekend we're about to embark on another industry thing, yawn. So on March 8th, 1994, along with the amazing album The Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails, Soundgarden released what would become a monumental landmark album for them. It was recorded between July and September of 1993 at Bad Animal Studios in Seattle. Produced by Michael Beanhorn and Soundgarden. First single was Spoon Man, followed by The Day I Tried to Live, which I think we all try to live that song at some point. And followed by Black Hole Sun, My Wave, Fell on Black Days. And if you think of the success, I mean, you know, Bad Motorfinger was a success, and then Super Unknown took them into a stratosphere that I don't think they'd ever expected. You know, I think they knew Black Hole Sun was going to be big. I remember the first time I watched that video on MTV. I was at a cousin's house, and it was late night. We're watching it, and they kept playing Black Hole Sun in, and they're burning the Barbie, and the, you know, and those devilish grins, which I love. And it was amazing. It's 30 years ago. I mean, to look back at that, and oh my God, 15 songs clocking on approximately 70 minutes. Cornell, we didn't want to argue over what we should cut. Soundgarden took a break in the middle of recording to open for Neil Young on a 10-day tour of the United States. The band then brought in Brendan O'Brien to mix the album. As Beanhorn felt the band needed a fresh pair of ears, O'Brien had once recommended by Pearl Jam guitarist Stone Gossard. Talia recalled the mixing process very painless, and bassist Ben Shepherd said it was the fastest part of the record. Oh, geez. This legendary album. Forget what the critics say. Forget what the Billboard charts say. Forget the year-end lists, and it made a lot of year-end lists in 1994, 30 years ago. It's a classic. It's a timeless classic. You know, as someone who didn't get into Nirvana right away, I got into Soundgarden first, and I'll be perfectly honest with that, because I was a teenager, and you know, you don't listen to what people want you to listen to. It just finds you. That's the beauty of this this album. And oh my God, it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet to talk about it, because, like I said, Chris is not here anymore. And I mean, this is such a beautiful, beautiful album, from the album cover to just everything, I think, that took off. And I want to play an interview for you of the band, you know, they didn't like to do interviews. Who likes to do interviews? But here we go.
Nirvana's fellow Seattle cohorts, Soundgarden, released a new album this week called Super Unknown, and critics are declaring the band's fifth album its most stellar to date. We visited the lads in their hometown and learned a bit about playing Spoons as well as Super Unknown.
Spins, just insane things where body goes.
Here, kitty. Here, kitty.
So she's supposed to have a great.
Come on in.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, that's a cool super sub.
Awesome.
Yeah,
but they weren't yet.
I've never been here.
Stuart recorded that stuff.
Oh, truly.
We need a picture of you guys for a while. You guys are the only ones missing.
Okay.
No, you have
to. No, it's fine. Let's do it.
really bring chaos into your lives.
Here's something you might want to check out.
Yeah, come back. Come back.
We're on the wall now.
Woo!
Put it this way, by the time you get up, they're not open.
Kerrigan wins silver!
That's all right.
You guys want to come over on this side? Would that be better?
Who wants to do that?
Come on, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Not really.
I'm not scared.
Yes. I was thinking, I brought some props. Yeah, no.
Thank you. Kim, put on some ear wraps. Try this on, Kim.
I really care about you and how you're feeling about yourself.
Yeah, let's make one of my rings bigger.
All right.
You tried this ring before.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's too small.
It's too small?
Yeah.
Going to Thailand.
Yeah.
See? Too small.
Oh, you found the ring, Mike?
Is business slowly, like today or something? It's
too bad.
People are shaking themselves.
Serious, I'll replace that stone.
Wow.
Well, it fits better.
Okay. You're on.
Duct tape wallets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be selling these at the next level.
Yeah, we got a little.
This is the losing generation right here.
What model is that?
This would be the ambassador.
This is the outdoorsman.
Entertainment Weekly calls you the next arena guy.
What do they know?
They don't know anything about anything.
What is an arena god?
What's like, Entertainment Weekly?
I think like Doug Henning or David Copperfield is an arena god.
There you go.
They can sell them out anytime. They can Billy make Graham. Tigers and helicopters disappear.
Billy Graham's an arena god. He can make your will disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Truckosaurus.
We're not quite up there with Truckosaurus yet.
Okay, I'm looking at a word that says eclectic. That describes super unknown.
Oh,
yeah, eclectic.
I'd call it eclectic. I'd call it, you know, from what I've read.
Yeah, because you haven't heard
if
it.
If you heard
let's
it.
Let's pretend I
okay.
A little bit of blues, a little bit of reggae, a little bit of C&W.
Lots of disco.
Yeah, there's some
adult contemporary.
Ska moments are my favorite moments.
So why do you think it came out so different than the last one?
Yeah.
Let's see. Because we recorded it that way?
It wasn't like we completely rearranged our approach to recording or writing records or anything. We didn't really. I think it's just a matter of being bored with like one method of writing a song, whether it was individuals or as a whole, and just like doing something else without necessarily like getting together and having a meeting to discuss changes we want to make. We just sort of naturally do it. We've been that way since we started.
Okay, who is Spoon Man? Spoon Man's right over there.
Woohoo!
It's the named artist. How did you find Spoon Man?
Well, we were in the cutlery section of Ernst and Malmo. No, it's hard not to find Spoon Man if you live in Seattle and you're
he finds you.
Yeah, you just someday you'll be walking down the street and you'll be hearing these rhythms and you'll run into this guy hitting himself in the head with spatulas, and it's kind of a memorable experience. We didn't know what a spoon solo was going to sound like on a Soundgarden song, because it's never happened before, and you don't hear a lot of rock songs, and, you know, with spoons in them, so it was sort of an experiment, and it turned out really, really great.
How'd you guys find each other?
Soundgarden? I never really met him until they invited me to open a show for him 2 years ago here in Seattle,
Well, the way they put it is, they say, it's hard not to find you.
Yeah, I overheard that. Well, when I'm in Seattle or whenever I'm anywhere, I mean, my only aspiration and involvement vocationally for 20 years is playing spoons and entertaining.
Of the things you could write songs about, like lost love, heartache, fast cars, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, politics, war, you know, the abortions, that kind of thing that everyone writes songs about. It to me, it's writing songs about someone like Spoon Man is kind of more interesting, more fun, change of pace.
Okay,
See what I'm talking about? There was a difference to their approach of things as artists, because they're just these guys from Seattle, like, hey, you know, and they didn't really, first of all, they were before the whole grunge movement. They came out in 87, you know, and to call it a movement, is it really a movement, you know? Yes, everyone flocked to Seattle and it changed the course of music. Even Nirvana, they were from Aberdeen, you know, but here are like I said, I wanted the band to speak for themselves in that clip, and I feel that they did. But this whole album, we've got time to talk about it. We've truly got time. We can go through the entire 15 fucking list. Let Me Drown, Hoo-Hoo, My Wave, which is such a kind of... My Wave, I always thought, was kind of like he threw it together and it's a meditation. You know what I mean? Fell on Black Days is just one of those songs where, first of all, his voice was so... just the tone of it. I don't think we can't stress that enough, is the tone. That was always in the emotion and what he's conveying, you know, where he says, I want to know, you know, if this will be my fate. Mailman. Like I said, the song titles choose themselves. Super Unknown. I always felt that the title track really was just the whole ambiance, but also the masterpiece, the centerpiece, even though it's right smack the fucking middle of the album, because it's so epic. It's so, and then, you know, if you think of the unfortunate thing is he's no longer here and he wrote that. And so he's somewhere in the super unknown, you know, you write this song and then you die and then it becomes this epic and, you know, conjuring, and he was conjuring a lot, and we'll get to that. Head Down, bang bang bang, basically. Now here we go, we arrive at the video that changed everything for Soundgarden. The video, the rotation, like I said, this is what really thrust them into the stratosphere, is that fucking video of Black Hole Sun. I remember the first time I saw it, I fell in love with them. And Stone Temple Pilots, you know, come on. How can you not love them? These beautiful centerpieces to my teenage years in 1994. And the Black Hole Sun. I remember not wanting to like it because I was listening to a lot of hip-hop. I wasn't trying in R&B. I wasn't trying to listen to some rock. And then I heard Soundgarden and it changed everything. And I fell in love with them. And, you know, it was like that first kiss, you know, it was the first rock and roll kiss, you know, and then, you know, you go to the crossroads like Robert Johnson and you know, you sell your soul. I mean, he says it right there in the fucking song, you know, first you steal your mind, then it steals your soul. I can't do it right now. I'm so tired. But Black Hole Sun. I mean, first of all, the opening of that song is so epic. It's so, oh my God. I want to play it because, you know, the intro alone and how it just, it takes on this life. And for those minutes that you're listening to the song, you're watching the video, you're dialed in and you're getting smacked around, but the chords are so fucking colorful, and then he's saying, you know, I'll hear you through the cream, you know. Oh God, here we go. Let me cue it back up. But this is, come on, how can you not?
Lies the snake in the sun.
Let's pull away before I get in fucking trouble. I don't think I will. I don't think I will because the love for Soundgarden has always been there and it will always be there. And that's why his death really broke my heart. I remember waking up that morning for work. I was teaching at the time. I was teaching preschool. So, you know, those kids don't listen to Soundgarden. Even though I would wear, like, concert tees and stuff, and I wore a Tool shirt a couple times, we're like, what's that giant eye? But, and I remember I hear music in my head, and I remember I was at work that day, and all I could hear was Soundgarden songs in my head. I was that heartbroken about his death. And so was MTV. Spoon Man. Ooh, Spoon Man. They talked about Spoon Man in that interview, and oh my God, just geez. I mean, the whole let's dive into the Super Unknown videos. The videos, you know, this is 1994, and you know I mentioned Clueless in the last thing about Nine Inch Nails. Jeremy Sisto, his character, remember in Clueless? Remember, he wants to go to the quad before someone steals his Soundgarden CD. So even in a movie like that, you know, the music was on par, basically. And these are teenagers, you know. Well, they weren't really. They were in their 20s playing teenagers. I was really a teenager. My friends, we were really teenagers when this album came out, and we lived it and we breathed it. And, you know, I'll talk about what, well, This is what I say now when I describe the 90s or I describe the 2000s. What was that like? And I said, especially to, you know, people, the different generation, the older generation or those in their 20s, I said, hey, we drank it, we smoked it, we fucked it, we listened to it, you know? We did. I can wholeheartedly say that. Here we go. That was the song they did the interview about, and it's a street performer named Spoon Man, and they invited him on stage, and what more can we say? Oh, the titles of these songs always got me. You got Limo Wreck. They're rock stars. Of course they're going to talk about a limo wreck. Okay. And now we arrive at a song that I have to say is bittersweet. And I'm going to talk about this because everyone that worked with Cornell all said they knew with those lyrics he was not faking it. He was not faking it, that he really lived those lyrics. And now that we know what we know, sadly, it's true. He lived those lyrics. You know, this dilemma about life and this dilemma about sadness and being down and you know, having to go through life and in his case, you know, fame and what fame really did to him and having to, you know, who's really going to, who are you really going to trust? And so you're going to trust yourself. He couldn't even trust himself probably at some point in mental illness and depression and everything. And it's, and he did have a history of that. Unfortunately, it was depression. And a lot of the musicians he worked with, especially the guys in Soundgarden, Audioslave, all said the lyrics were real. And the day I tried to live, when I listen to it now, you know, unfortunately, you know, he was trying to live. He was trying to live. And oh my God. I mean, it's such a song because lyrically, I always love their intros. Soundgarden just does it.
Accept a voice within my
Yeah. See what I mean? He really was living those lyrics day by day, time by time. He was living those fucking lyrics. So that's why it's a very bittersweet thing to talk about. Kickstand, you know, just meditation, fresh tendrils, meditation. 4th of July. 4th of July is basically them trying to sound like the Melvins. I saw the Melvins open for Ministry in 2022. Hard to believe that was a long time ago. And I saw an interview where they talked about how Soundgarden wanted to set, they did a song, and I think Cornell said that it was a tribute to the Melvins because they wanted, you know, very kind of heavy. Ooh-hoo, baby, here we go. See how it just starts off? I mean, that really is. So I love comments sometimes. Someone said in one of these comments, that riff has its own gravitational field. Damn fucking right it does. And then half meditation. And then like suicide, as I said, bittersweet. Bittersweet. Bitter fucking sweet. Super unknown. Yeah. What can I say about the super unknown? 30 fucking years. 30 fucking years of a fucking masterpiece. Just like the Downward Spiral, you know, they're just what can I fucking say? What can I fucking say about this album that really just changed my life and changed so many people that listen to it? And we got to hear this band really just give us a moment in time that I don't think any of us will ever fucking forget. And I'm forever grateful to them for that, as are millions of fucking people, billions of fucking people that listen to Soundgarden and what Soundgarden represents. And, oopsies. I just realized something. Anyway, jeez. Oh, it's so funny. You know how you're distracted by things, and so, oh, jeez. But yeah, I wanted to just really pay homage to this amazing album, awards aside. Yes, it won MTV Video Music Awards. It won 2 Grammys. Black Hole Sun is a classic song, but the whole fucking album flows in such a way, in such a visceral sonic landscape. You're living it at both ends. You're taking it, you're kissing it, you're making love to it. It is an album of albums that is so fucking amazing. And these to have these two pillars, the Downward Spiral, Super Unknown, both representing life, the dark facets, the light facets, everything in between. These men really lived it, and they both tried to die for it. And Cornell didn't make it, Reznor did. So, you know, Rest in peace, and thank you for the music.